For tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a 2019 annual ladies' conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, 1:15 p.m., February the 16th, 2019. Callie Ritchie is a speaker teaching on the spirit of jealousy.
Well, those girls all missed out, Callie. So come on up here, gal. Yeah. Did y'all get full?
Yeah.
Well, Lord, I just ask you to bring those girls back in.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name. I'm going to be speaking to you on a spirit that I was very familiar with, that I was haunted with from a child, from a little girl, and it's the spirit of jealousy. And it's called a green-eyed monster, because that's exactly what it is, a monster. It's a demon. And this demon caused me to be a rageful fit thrower. I used to throw things, break things, go into rages. It caused me to be suicidal, and it was real. And what the in Numbers 5 and 14, it says, if the spirit of jealousy comes upon him and he becomes jealous of his wife who has defiled herself, or if the spirit of jealousy comes upon him and he becomes jealous of his wife, although she has not defiled herself. Now, what I see in that is that the Bible, the Word says that jealousy is a spirit, which I was glad to find out once I started learning about deliverance, because I thought that this was the way I was, the way I was. I thought that was the way I was going to be for the rest of my life. And it caused me to not want to live. Jealousy is awakened by whatever may exalt others or give them pleasures and advantages which we desire for ourselves. Jealousy is allied to envy. So, jealousy and envy, they're partners. They work together. Jealousy is the apprehension of superiority. Suspicious fear or apprehension. Jealousy is an emotion and typically refers to the negative thoughts and feelings of insecurity, fear, and anxiety over an anticipated loss of something that the person values, particularly in reference to a human connection. The feeling of jealousy indicates that there is a problem. There can be a true reason for jealousy, or there has been a true reason that was never dealt with. Then there's the jealousy that accuses others that is fueled by the insecurity of the accuser. Even when there is a valid reason for jealousy and is not dealt with in a godly, Christ-like manner, a place can be given to this spirit, and it can take over. Example, sex before marriage with each other. Even if a person maybe never had been jealous before, but all of a sudden they're engaged and they start crossing boundaries, then a spirit of jealousy can come into them, because they have committed spiritual adultery with each other. Even if they didn't go all the way, that spirit can still come in. And it will cause the wife, even after they've been married, to not trust the husband, or the husband to not trust the wife. It's an unhappy or angry feeling of wanting to have what someone else has. Now, for me, this was even the affection that my husband had towards his child. Now, we were a blended family, So when my husband and me married, he was 11 years old. And I was extremely jealous of him because I wanted to be number one. It was about me. And I didn't want him to give that type of love to him that I wanted for myself. It's an unhappy or angry feeling caused by the belief that someone you love, such as your husband or wife, likes or is liked by someone else. Some synonyms for jealousy: grudge, envy, resentment, spiteful, cruelty, covetousness, gossip and slander, enviousness, betrayal, spite, critical nature, backbiting, judgmental, begrudging, suspicious, evil eye, jaundiced eye, betrayal, unchristlike competition, and grudgingness. Jealousy often consists of a combination of emotions such as anger, resentment, inadequacy, helplessness, and disgust. Anger leads to hatred, and hatred leads to murder. Sometimes others towards others, sometimes yourself. One of the definitions of envy is painful or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another, joined with a desire to possess the same. Envy is a resentment which occurs when someone lacks another's quality, achievement, or possession, and wishes that the other lacked it. Either I want what you have, or I don't want you to have it at all. Jealousy is the result or fear of losing someone or something that one is attached to or possesses to another person, like the transfer of a lover's affection in a typical form. I wanted to be number one. I wanted to be the most loved, the most important, the prettiest. Just, it was all about me. Jealousy doesn't have to make sense at all. It's just like me being jealous of a child. In the natural, it didn't make sense to me then, but it was real. The origin of the first fall, now look back to where it all started. Isaiah 14:12 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High." In Ezekiel 28:12, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created until iniquity was found in thee." God hates jealousy. He hates it. The most beautiful creature, he was a created being. He became envious of God's position. Jealousy and envy so consumed him that in his pride he deceived himself into believing that he could defeat Yahweh. So Satan fell. So now Satan wants to cause man to fall. The origin of the fall in the flesh. In Genesis 3:4, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." So the enemy who was jealous of God used the same characteristics to make Eve jealous for something which God said that she couldn't have. The knowledge of good and evil was not intended for man. In Galatians 5:21, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So murder can be with your mouth, it can be in your heart. And it says here that those who have this shall not inherit the kingdom of God. God hates jealousy, he hates envy, he hates murder. Romans 1:29, being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. I'm going to give you some biblical examples of jealousy and envy and what the Lord says about it. Cain slayed Abel. Cain was jealous unto murder when his offering was rejected by God and Abel's was accepted in Genesis chapter 4. So his jealousy turned into murder. And the result, the punishment for that, resulted in a life of wondering. So Cain spent his life wondering. So if we are operating in that spirit, if we have that spirit of jealousy, we might find ourselves wandering around in life, wondering why we can't get to the next level, why we can't hear God. Sarah and Hagar. Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham to have a son with, and jealousy grew between them over their children, causing Sarah to have Abraham drive her out. That's in Genesis 16 and 21. Jacob and Esau. So Jacob stole Esau's birthright and blessing, causing Esau to be jealous and want to kill him. That's Genesis chapter 25. So he had murder in his heart. Joseph was thrown into a pit by his brothers. Jacob the father favored Joseph over all his sons, causing them to despise and be jealous over Joseph and throw him in a pit and abandon him. Then there's the rebellion of Korah towards Moses. In Numbers chapter 16, some of the leaders' jealousy rebelled against Moses, bringing disaster to many. So Miriam, Moses' sister, began to criticize Moses, speak against him, because of a woman he married. She also questioned Moses' authority, saying, "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Hasn't he also spoken to us?" Because of this, God struck her with leprosy, and she would have been permanently removed from Israel if Moses had not interceded for her. So there was punishment for backbiting, gossip, jealousy, envy. Korah, one of the rich leaders of the Levites and a cousin of Moses and Aaron, felt that he had been slighted and overlooked. And jealousy will make you feel slighted. I've been slighted. They didn't notice me. I was overlooked. And so they felt that they had been slighted and overlooked in the distribution of the highest priestly honors and leadership. He envied Moses and Aaron and also his cousin Elzaphan, who had been put in charge of the Levites after Aaron's family had become elevated to the rank of priest. Realizing that despite his riches and influence, he alone could do very little to shake the people's faith and confidence in Moses and Aaron, Korah started looking for associates in his campaign against them. So Korah went to the people of the tribe of Reuben, his neighbors in the camping order. Being daily in close contact with them, Korah easily swayed the opinions of the leaders and drew them into his conspiracy. Amongst the Reubenites were two men, Dathan and Abiram, who since their early days in Egypt had been troublemakers and the ringleaders of disaffection and rebellion. Now, if any of these words you hear, if you recognize them in yourself, oh, I feel that way, or oh, I do that, repent. Just repent. If you have conspired to try to turn people against another group, repent. They were the first to rally to the party of Korah, and they were his most eager agents among their classmates. Their experience and clever campaigning, aided by Korah's riches, influence, and knowledge, induced as many as 250 respected leaders of the Jewish camp to join in the rebellion. So jealousy will cause you to get people to be on your side. It's you against them. They now felt bold enough to go out into the open and speak up against Moses' leadership of the people, adopting the mantle of piety and justice and pretending to be a champion of his people. Korah accuses Moses and Aaron of imposing their leadership upon the community. You take too much upon yourselves for the entire congregation and are all holy, and the Lord is in their midst. So why do you raise yourself above the Lord's assembly, said Korah, and his men to Moses and to Aaron. So now Moses admonishes the rebels. When Moses heard of the public accusations made against him by members of the tribe of Levi and their associates, he prayed to God for guidance in his new tribulation. So if we find ourselves people coming against us out of jealousy, we need to ask the Lord for a word of knowledge on how to deal with these people, how to deal with the situation that's coming against us. Then he addressed himself to Korah and his party and told them to prepare themselves for the next day, when God would show whom he considered worthy to serve as priest. All the contestants were to take censers and offer incense before God. God would then show whether he approved of this act. Moses spoke to Korah privately and warned him against his lust for personal honor. It is not enough that the God of Israel had distinguished you from the congregation. Is it not enough that the God of Israel has distinguished you from the congregation of Israel to draw you near to him, to perform the service in the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister to them? Moses said that to him, but his words fell on deaf ears. Korah refused to listen. He didn't want to hear. So Dathan and Abiram's spite, they became spiteful. After his unsuccessful talk with Korah, Moses sent for Dathan and Abiram, who were the ringleaders of the rebellion among the non-Levites. However, they replied with their usual arrogance. In Numbers 16:12-13, we will not go up. Is it not enough that you have brought us out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the desert, that you should also exercise authority over us? Moses was deeply hurt by this venomous attack upon his leadership, and he prayed to God to expose the wickedness of these people before the entire congregation of Israel. So that's another word on how to deal with wickedness. We pray to God, we take it to God, and ask the Lord for a strategy on how to deal with something that's coming against you. The next morning, Korah's associates appeared before the tabernacle with censers, as Moses had told them to do. With them came the entire community who Korah had called to witness the proceedings. Then God told Moses to order the children of Israel to separate themselves from Korah and his associates and everything that belonged to them, for fear that they share in the rebels' fate. Again, Moses and the elders approached Dathan and Abiram in a last-minute effort to induce them to repent of their sins. He gave them another chance to repent. However, it was in vain. And Moses ordered the rest of the people to depart from the tents of Dathan and Abiram. The people obeyed. Dathan and Abiram and their families stood in the front of their tents and in a defiant mood continued to abuse Moses. Gravely, Moses told the children of Israel in Numbers 16:28, "With this you shall know that the Lord sent me to do all these deeds, for I did not devise them myself. If these men die, as all men die, and the fate of all men will be visited upon them, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates something new, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them and all that is theirs, and they descend alive into the grave, you will know that these men have provoked the Lord." Hardly had Moses finished speaking when the earth split open and swallowed Korah and his associates with their families and belongings. They were buried alive and perished by a terrible death that made the people who stood by flee in terror. Now, I don't know that the Lord would open the earth. He could. But today, there is a spiritual death that comes with jealousy. There is a spiritual grave that comes with jealousy and envy. The next instant, a fire from heaven devoured the 250 men who had dared to contest Aaron's priestly authority by offering incense. After seeing God's judgment, look at the continued rebellion among the people in this amazing finish to the story. This is a budding staff. The following day, some of the children of Israel complained that Moses and Aaron had caused the death of so many leading men, whereupon God sent a plague which killed many thousand more of the rebels. The authority of Aaron as high priest was to be openly proved so that his supremacy might forever be assured and recognized. Each tribe was commanded to bring one rod inscribed with its name. That of the tribe of Levi was to bear the name Aaron. The rods were given to Moses, who took them into the tabernacle. The tribe whose rod would blossom and bud was to be considered as especially elected and favored by God. So Moses did as God had ordered him, and the next morning the priest entered the sanctuary and saw that Aaron's staff had budded and blossomed. And it yielded ripe almonds. There was fruit. Moses carried the rods out to the children of Israel, and each of the tribes took its rod. Everyone was now convinced of Aaron's right to the priesthood. Old Testament lives stand as an example for us today. Listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians 10. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." God hates sin. So because of jealousy, grumbling, arrogance, defiance, lust for personal honor, troublemakers, ringleaders of disaffection, they were overthrown. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they lust. "Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Neither murmur, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." I think the destroyer for murmuring here would be just demons. We're just being attacked by demons. 1 Corinthians 10:11. "Now all these things happen unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Daughters, many of us would have rebelled, we would have been defiant, and we would have fell into that pit with Korah had we been born on that side of the cross. Notice how God used Moses to try to get these people to repent. He gave them another chance. God sent someone to them to warn them. They refused to listen. Notice the character of Moses as an intercessor. He prayed to God. Notice that God did judge the people when he was forced to by their stubbornness. Today, our pit could be anger, depression, or fear. It could be broken relationships. The destroyer, he still comes and he destroys. He destroys relationships, careers, finances, health, and some even die. We have to repent. The spirit of jealousy, it destroyed many relationships in my life. I was married 4 times before I married my husband. And that spirit destroyed every relationship, not just with men, but with women. It tried to destroy the relationship with my son from my husband and his daughter. Jealousy tried to destroy that. But praise God for his word, his teaching, the understanding, and the deliverance and the healing that came. Other scriptures include the following, Matthew 27:18. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Talking about Jesus. Mark 15:10. For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. Acts 13:45. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Exodus 20:17 tells us, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. We're not to covet. 1 Corinthians 3:3-5 says, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own ways. It is not irritable or resentful. Ephesians 5:3 tells us, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness, no foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Romans 13:13 says, let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. James 3:14-15 says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and deny the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Let's take the story of Saul and David. Let's look at how jealousy affects the victim. Saul was very angry. This refrain galled him. So, when I see the word gall, I think of bitterness. And Jerry and Carla have taught me over the years that if there is an issue in my body, to look up scripture to see why I'm having this pain here, or this disease, or this. So gallbladder, I think of gall. So this refrain galled him. So he was bitter and jealous. And so bitterness, from what I've learned spiritually, can lead to gallbladder issues. So if I have a gallbladder issue, which I did, I had to go back and say, where am I jealous? Where am I bitter? Where am I angry? Where do I have hate? Who am I angry at? And I just had to go down the list until I had repented and forgave and got rid of it, and now it's gone and it's never come back. So Saul was very angry. And this is what he said: they have credited David with tens of thousands, but with me only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. In everything David did, he had a great success. But the Lord was with him. The Lord was with David. That's in Samuel 18:8, 9, and 14. So to be jealous of someone is to be intolerant. So ask yourself, have I been intolerant and hostile? Are you ever hostile towards a person who is perceived to be a threat or a rival to one's position or authority? A jealous spirit stems from feelings of over-possessiveness and holding too high an opinion of oneself. The jealous person feels like no one else can or should be able to do what they do. The jealous person feels that they're the ones who have to do it. If it's going to get done right, they're going to be the ones to do it. Instead of admiring the capabilities, competence, excellence, or talents of another, the jealous person views these qualities as a challenge to who they are. A jealous spirit reveals a flaw in one's character. It's an admission of one's feelings of inadequacy. It's a way of defending ourselves against the reality that someone may be better at something than we are. And there's really nothing wrong with that. When we behave, there's nothing wrong with someone doing something better. That's what I mean. When we behave jealously towards another's accomplishments, we're actually showing our inability to deal with the truth. No one likes to think of himself as not measuring up to another person. But a reality of life is that there will always be someone who is better at something than we are. But rather than accept that reality, the one who is controlled by this spirit of jealousy will feed his feelings of inadequacy through displays of anger and resentment towards what another person has achieved. Then the third thing about jealousy is that jealousy is often the result of our frustration at wasted opportunities. People who have wasted their opportunities often can't accept the fact that another won't make the same mistake, and the jealous person will do all he can to deny the other fellow an opportunity to succeed where he has failed. It's that kind of attitude that gives birth to stumbling blocks. You may have tried something. You may have tried to do something positive. You may have labored long and hard to bring something to fruition, and for whatever reason, you didn't achieve your goal. Perhaps it had to do with your job. Maybe you set certain career goals for yourself, but you wasted your opportunities and fell short of your goal. And now you've made up your mind that if I can't succeed, then no one else will. And you're going to do all that you can to mess up that program for them. Maybe it has something to do with your personal life. Maybe you came from a negative family situation. Perhaps you weren't given the same opportunity to achieve that others had because you looked a certain way or because you came from a certain part of town. Maybe you just let your hair look different than someone else's. And it's sad that this kind of thing happens. But now it's caused you to be so bitter and frustrated. This brings us to a fourth point about jealousy. Jealousy almost always reveals itself in a destructive manner. It can start off with negative talk and a little dirty dealing. But if it goes on unchecked, jealousy can lead to terrible tragedy. Jealousy caused Cain to kill his brother. Jealousy caused Lot to turn his back on his uncle. Has anyone ever turned their back on you? Have you ever turned your back on someone else? No. If they have turned their back on you, forgive them. If you've turned your back on someone else, repent. Jealousy caused Joseph's brothers to sell him into slavery. And just like jealousy destroyed in the days of old, jealousy is destroying a lot of us right now. Some husband and wives are at each other's throats today over jealousy. My husband and me were. It was World War III happening in our home. It was horrible. And there was no reason. In reality, he gave me no reason to be jealous. But I perceived, it was a perceived jealousy. And I tore up a lot of stuff. I broke windows. I broke stuff in the house. I was a pit bull. I would get into rages. Some brothers and sisters can't stand to be in each other's presence because of jealousy. Someone is in the hospital, or worse yet, in the cemetery because of someone else's jealousy. Like I said, I was suicidal. I would get so jealous. I probably four times, maybe more, I tried to commit suicide, and I almost succeeded. But the Lord had a plan for me. But that's how strong this spirit is. It will drive you. It will drive you to do things that don't seem normal. Even more than the destructive nature of a jealous spirit, you need to know today that jealousy cuts you off from God. God hates jealousy. He hates jealousy. You see, the jealous man or woman sees his life as being in his own hands. They see their success or failure as ultimately being up to them. But when you have the right outlook on life, then you know that you don't need to be jealous of anybody because God is in charge. And if God is in charge, then no one can take from you what God has given you. Now, I learned that the hard way. I was probably 43 years old before this spirit quit operating in our life and we became a healthy marriage. And I realized when I was healed and delivered from jealousy that all the things that I thought he was doing that he wasn't doing, but I thought he was doing. When I come to learn that even if he had been doing some things, that it wasn't because of me. Because I always thought, well, I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not enough for him. I wasn't enough for anyone. So, but once I got healed and we cast that demon out, now I know that he's in God. God's got him. God's got him. I trust God with my husband.
Amen.
And there was a day he wouldn't be sitting in this room with a bunch of women because I wouldn't have been able to handle it. But today he sits in rooms with lots of women and be the only men in women's conferences as spiritual directors, as the counselors, and in ministries with hundreds of women. So no one can take from you what God has given you if God is in charge. And I'm not to be concerned with what God has blessed someone else with. So this is not talking about my husband, but what God has blessed someone else with. But I'm going to focus all my energy on doing the best that I can with what God gave me. Some people are jealous of other people's ministries. But God has given us the ministry that we have. So I'm going to focus on what he's given me to do and not what someone's doing up here. That's not my business. But when we take our minds off of all that and that worry and not worry about what someone else has, we're leaving God. No, let me start over. When we take our minds off of that, of what God's given me is keeping, and start worrying about what someone else has, we're leaving God completely out of the situation. And whenever we leave God out, we're headed for trouble. When we take our minds off of us, using what God has given us, and get concerned about what God has given someone else, what we're really doing is discounting the value of God's gift to us. If you have a jealous spirit today, if any of you have that jealousy in your life, you need to repent and work to put that jealousy in check. For jealousy is destructive. It cuts you off from God's blessing. If you're a victim of jealousy, then observe how David, who was a man after God's heart, handled it. The man caught up in jealousy is King Saul. And the man being victimized by jealousy is God's servant David. As we set the scene, it's important to note that while Saul was jealous of David, the truth is that Saul had brought his troubles on himself. Saul had been blessed by God to become king of Israel, and God had endowed Saul with certain talents and abilities. The Bible describes him as a choice young man, humble and filled with self-control. But along the way, Saul got full of himself, and he began to think that he was more than he was. Twice, Saul disobeyed God and did what he wanted to do. And as a result, God told Saul, through Samuel, that his kingdom would not last, and that another would reign in his place. The Bible said that God took his spirit from Saul, and that as a result of his absence of the Spirit of God, an evil spirit consumed him, all because of disobedience. And this evil spirit caused Saul to be filled with jealousy towards David. Now Saul first became aware of David one afternoon in the Elah Valley when the young shepherd boy decided to uphold the honor of the Lord and face the Philistine warrior, Goliath. No man in Israel's army, including Saul, was willing to face Goliath, but David, without sword or shield, without armor or helmet, in the power of the Lord, he was able to bring Goliath down. That day, Saul was very pleased with David, and he took him into his own house and made him as one of his own sons. But as David continued to labor faithfully in Saul's service, the Bible says that two things happened. The first thing that happened was that David's popularity with the people grew. The 18th chapter of 1 Samuel tells how, as David was returning home one day from a successful mission for the king, the crowds began to call his name and sing his praises. As David passed by, the women sang to one another, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s." The second thing that happened was when Saul heard their singing, his countenance toward David changed, and the Bible says that from that day forward, Saul tried to destroy David. Now understand, David hadn't done anything to Saul. In fact, the singing of these women was not disrespectful to Saul. They were simply giving David credit for his accomplishment. But Saul saw this action as them exalting David over him. And their singing made him angry and paranoid. Hear him as he asked himself, "If they ascribe to David 10,000 and to me just thousands, then what else could David be after that than to take my kingdom from me?" It wasn't long after that that Saul tried to take David's life. Twice, he hurled spears at David's head. He sent men to David's house to kill him, and a little while later, he began to hunt David down to destroy him. He was so jealous of David that he forgot about everything else. It consumed him. And that's what jealousy did for me. It consumed me. He used his children. He neglected his kingdom. And he eventually lost his mind behind his jealousy of David. But notice through it all that David was all right. He was okay. He was able to overcome. And if you want to know how, the Bible gives us the reason in the 14th verse. First of all, David was able to overcome jealousy because David showed wisdom and strong discipline. The scripture says that in all things, David behaved himself wisely. You don't have to answer every unkind thing that's said about you. You don't have to respond to every mean thing that's done to you. Quite often, the wisest thing you can do is just keep on keeping on. David knew that he had done nothing to Saul. In fact, David had done all that he could to be the most loyal servant that he could to Saul. But even when Saul turned against him, even when Saul tried his best to destroy him, David made up his mind that he was going to do the right thing. So when people are coming against you and saying bad things about you and being mean and talking about you, just do the right thing. Daughters, there's something to be said about wise behavior. Wisdom has its rewards, not just in eternity, but in the here and now. When you show wisdom and discipline, then even when people don't like you, they have to respect you. David didn't set out to win anyone's favor. But the more wisdom and discipline he showed, the more he just tried to do the right thing, the more the people fell in love with him. The most important thing to help David overcome Saul's jealousy was that the Lord was with David. If you read the scripture, you'll see that Saul realized he was not only fighting David, but he was fighting God. Saul knew that God had laid his hands on David, and that to fight David was indeed to fight God. But Saul continued to try to destroy David anyway. Through it all, God kept David alive, kept him safe, and in his own time, God gave David the victory. Psalm 37, 1-6. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desire of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Another thing to be learned from the lesson of David and Saul is that to the jealous person, there does not have to be a real threat, merely a perceived. The feelings, emotions, and demonically laced reactions are the same. Jealousy and envy also make life hell on earth for others. You can ask my husband. He will tell you. It was horrible. His wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy and jealousy? Proverbs 27:4, jealousy invariably hurts people around us, especially those we say we love the most. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. Jealousy is a major function of self-righteousness and arrogance. Therefore, it is a major factor in Christian backsliding and degeneracy. It causes a Christian to develop a system of legalism and false spirituality, to set himself up as a role model for what Christianity should be, and then try to get others to accept their role model of false self-identity. While jealousy is part of pride, complex of sins, it generates its own suite of sinful reactions, including bitterness, vindictiveness, implacability, ambition, competition, verbal sin, revenge tactics. Jealousy is a system of self-justification. You cannot solve your own problems when you're trying to justify yourself. It's discontent with the blessings and success of others, a resentment of other people for what they have received. Therefore, it is total selfishness and is incapable of love. Love and jealousy are mutually exclusive. Jealousy is tyranny in that it comes from an attitude of possessiveness of another person and therefore stifles the other person's volition. Jealousy destroys freedom because it intrudes upon privacy. Tear down the lie with God's truth. With God, there is unlimited good. God has an unlimited supply of goodness and blessing for everyone on earth. Some of the negative consequences of jealousy. Jealousy causes hopelessness and depression. Jealousy makes you mean and cruel. Jealousy is more detrimental than wrath or anger. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before jealousy? When you walk in jealousy, you have limited power. Unwise comparisons open the door to envy and jealousy. People who compare themselves with others are without understanding. To compare is to belittle what God has done in your life. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. That's either 1 Corinthians 10:12 or 2 Corinthians 10:12. Jealous people are unspiritual and walk in the flesh. Walking in the flesh is a way of thinking that opposes the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians 3:3, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? There is no profit to walking in the flesh. God has not called you to walk as mere men. Jealousy makes you bitter. And where jealousy exists, there is disorder and the potential for every evil work. The spirit of jealousy will lead you down a path that can ultimately destroy your life. Jealousy brings confusion. Wherever there is envy, there is disorder and every evil work. Wrong thinking, unbelief, and ungratefulness lead to feeling as though your needs will not be met. Doubting your self-worth. Remember, Jesus set our value at the cross. And whether you have what it takes to succeed in this life, this is a lie because we live by His grace and His strength. Some of the common characteristics of jealousy. In some cases, if a friend or spouse is talking with someone else, a jealous person may get quiet or have a mood change. This might be an attempt to hide jealousy. If the person seems to get angry but will not say why, this can also be an indication of jealousy. My husband, we could be in a restaurant and the cashier have a cold and he would say, sister, can I pray for you? And it was instant shutdown. It was instant. My countenance changed. I got angry. I got quiet. First I'd have the silent treatment, and then I would explode in anger and think that he was lusting after her. And she didn't even have to be pretty or beautiful, because jealousy isn't just about she's prettier than me. It isn't about that. It's a spirit. Sometimes a jealous person will have a need to call or see a partner often and will get upset when they can't be reached. If a person gets unreasonably upset when there is not enough contact or wants to know his partner's whereabouts, it can be an indication of jealousy and insecurity. Often a jealous person will tear someone down or try to make them feel insecure. For example, if you share good news with a jealous person, she might counter it with a negative remark as opposed to being happy for them. If another person compliments you or finds you attractive, a jealous person will most likely get upset or angry if she perceives you as a threat. Jealousy is always about fear of being displaced. Leadership through fear of losing control can also come in the following ways within the church. Someone else being chosen to finish what you labored to see done. Someone receiving revelation elsewhere after years of sitting under a certain ministry. Comparison to self, to someone else's abilities, and perceiving that others think less of you. So how do we defeat jealousy? 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant. Philippians 2:3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In Proverbs 14:30, a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. So I've got bone problems, but arthritis, joints ache. Philippians, got to repent. A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. Philippians 4:11, now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. So I'm going to be content in whatever state I'm in. Philippians 4:12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to give you just a little bit more of the testimony about the jealousy. Part of mine was generational. There was a generational curse of jealousy in my family. My father was extremely jealous. I don't know beyond that because I didn't know my grandparents or my parents were older when they had me. But my father was extremely jealous of my mother. And there was a lot of addictions in the home. And jealousy caused you to do a lot of different things, to medicate yourself in different ways. It causes perversion. And so I'm just going to be frank here. And just when I was conceived, my father had to look at pornography. And there was all kind of different curses in the family. Part of it was the Masonic Freemasonry. And so there was so many different dynamics. So my father had to look at pornography to be able to do certain things. And so I was conceived that way. And then my father, so there was this thing that came into me through the DNA. Well, I'm not good enough. Okay? So spiritually, what he was doing came into me, that whoever I was with, I wasn't good enough. So I was always thinking in my mind that my husband, and this is even with my husband, he's thinking of someone else when he's with me. And so that would cause the jealousy just to rear up and cause me to want to withdraw or go into a perverted mindset that I had to be delivered of. And so that happened in my childhood. And so then my mother also had a spirit of jealousy. I was their caretaker for the last, probably 15 years of their life because my dad, he couldn't drive anymore. My mom never drove. And so my mom, I would take my dad home with me so my mom could have a break. And my mom, at the end of her life, said, "You love him more than you love me." And in my mind, I was trying to help her, thinking she just needs some alone time. But that spirit of jealousy twisted that and, you know, just turned it into be, I was preferring him over her, which was a lie. So I always felt like I was being compared. I told you how I wanted to be number one. It caused me to be, we could go to Walmart. And, I mean, I was jealous, and there was really nothing to be jealous of. But I thought my husband was looking at other women and preferring them to me. So we go to Walmart or we go different places, and if there was a half-naked woman in the place, she was going to be in our aisle right next to us. And my husband would try as hard as he could because he knew how jealous I was to look like that. I mean, he would be obvious. He was like, and I'd get mad because he was being obvious. You know, and I'm like, you saw her. I know you saw her. And it was ridiculous. But that's how jealousy does. It caused me to be suicidal. It's mean. It's a mean spirit, and I hate it. I hate it with a passion. But the good news is, I used to want to live on an island with no women. I'm going to take my man, and we're going to live on an island, and there's not going to be another woman there, and I'll be happy. I will be okay then. But that's a lie too. They would have probably been jealous of the fishing he would be doing on the island. So it's a spirit. So it doesn't make sense, but it is what it is. And so, but the good news is that the Lord showed us. We separated for a season when we first got married because of the jealousy. Now, the first four marriages before, we just divorced. I wasn't serving God, didn't know. And we were serving God, and we knew this was a problem. And divorce wasn't in our vocabulary, but we knew we had to figure out what was going on. So I would get jealous, and he would get mad. So my jealousy would cause the anger that was in him that he needed to be delivered to come up. So the Lord used that to cleanse us both. So we separated, and I had a mentor, a godly woman, who told me, I don't want to hear about what he's doing. It don't matter what he's doing. It doesn't matter what he's saying. You're going to focus on the Lord, you and the Lord, and you're going to get healed. Because it was about me. And what I noticed, this pattern, it was like this husband was the same with this one, this one, this one, and this one. So I'm like, it's got to be me. It couldn't be every one of these people. It had to be me. And the Lord showed me, and I got healed.
I got rid of the jealousy, the fear, the anger, the unholy judgment. The Lord healed my heart, and I learned how to love me. I am enough. God made me. I'm a gift to myself even. He loves me. And my husband loves me. And so now we separated, and he dealt with his stuff. I dealt with my stuff. I was working a women's ministry. And on a Saturday night, we do a certain something that's real special. And I come back to my bed that Saturday night, and he had this engagement ring sitting on my bed. And it was like our new beginning. And we've been together ever since. And we've grown. And we've been coming here since 2004. And we've sat here, and we've listened to the teaching. We've sat here, and we've got the deliverance and got the healing. And so now I can go to the beach. I couldn't even hardly stand the TV to be on. Some pretty girl was going to, on a commercial or something was going to come up. And so I live free today. I'm not afraid, and I trust my husband. I know that he's not doing the things that I thought, that perception, that perceived jealousy that I had. He's not doing those things. So now we're gonna go into some prayer now. If y'all want to repeat after me. Yahweh, my Father in heaven, I repent for myself and my ancestors for operating in unholy jealousy. I renounce unholy jealousy and break the curse of jealousy off of me and my bloodline. I forgive those who have controlled or hurt me through jealousy. I break unholy soul ties with them, and I send their souls back to them and call my soul back to me, covered in the blood of Jesus. I also break all demonic bridges between me and the people, and command all generational spirits and spirits which have transferred to leave me now in Jesus' name. Now come up and out of them in Jesus' name. Up and out. Out. All jealousy. Out. Generational jealousy. Up and up. Out. Every spirit that came into those generational jealousy, come up and out. I command all jealousy. Repeat after me. I command all jealousy and all like and attached spirits, as well as all squatters, to flee me now in Jesus' name. I lend my agreement to the minister. Calling them out, and I know that two shall put 10,000 to flight in Jesus' name. I believe Jesus is my deliverer and shall set me free indeed. So now I'm just going to start calling some spirits out, and y'all just will them out, get them out. Come out of agreement with jealousy, revenge, spite, anger, rage. Up and out. Come out in Jesus' name. Murder, strife, hatred. Come out in Jesus' name. Cruelty, contention, cause divisions. Come out in Jesus' name. That's the cause of divisions. Come up and out in Jesus' name. Extreme competition.
Jesus' name. Pride, pornography, destruction of family, come out, up and out in Jesus' name. Destruction of family, pouting, drunkenness, rebellious, come out, up and out in Jesus' name. Rejection, emotional cripple, come up and out in Jesus' name. Out of God's people, resentment, failure, scared, fearful, come out, up and out in Jesus' name. Separation and divorce, up and out, we break your power in Jesus' name. Fear of getting hurt, sibling rivalry, fear of women, up and out in Jesus' name. Come out of God's people in Jesus' name. Still following the sins of the Father, come out. We break your power in Jesus' name. Tragic mistakes, unemotional, come up and out in Jesus' name. Upset children, heavy spirited, workaholic, come up and out in Jesus' name. Hatred of women, come out in Jesus' name. Accusation, aggression, intimidation, come out in Jesus' name. Attention seeking, insinuation, arrogance, up and out in Jesus' name. Come out of God's people. Insecurity, denying, inadequate, come out in Jesus' name. We break your power. Bickering, inhospitable, backbiting, come out in Jesus' name. Brash, bossy woman, come out in Jesus' name. Jealousy, bedroom blackmail, come out in Jesus' name. Jezebel, come out. We break your power, Jezebel, come out in Jesus' name. Conniving, lack of confidence, contention and lying, come out in Jesus' name. Lawlessness, condemnation, laziness, come out in Jesus' name. Counterfeit spiritual, come out in Jesus' name. Conditional love, we break your power in Jesus' name. Charming, overindulgence, and controlling spirits, come up and out in Jesus' name. Doubt, projected guilt, quick temper, come out in Jesus' name. Hasty marriage, come out in Jesus' name. Vanity, hopelessness, can't receive love, can't give love, come out in Jesus' name. We break your power in Jesus' name. Worldly wisdom, whining, come out in Jesus' name. Distrust, revenger, and deception, come up and out in Jesus' name. Rebellion, delusion, come up and out in Jesus' name. Defeat, slander, come out in Jesus' name. Up and out in Jesus' name. Control, shame, female dominance, come out in Jesus' name. Spiritual blindness, false sickness, self-defeating, and finger-pointing, come up and out in Jesus' name. Up and out in Jesus' name. Dominance and short temper, emotional outbursts, come out in Jesus' name. We break your power. Sorcery, failure, shirking responsibilities, we break your power in Jesus' name. Spiteful, cruelty, backstabbing, we break your power. Come up and out of God's people in Jesus' name. Critical nature, judgmental, and suspicious, come up and out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, paranoia, violence, you mean man, come out in Jesus' name. Cruel messenger, up and out in Jesus' name. Accusations, argumentative nature, come up and out. We break your power, come up and out in Jesus' name. Belittling, bickering, bitterness, blasphemy, causing divisions and coarse jesting, we break your power in Jesus' name. Contention, covetousness, criticism, cursing, deception, destruction, we break your power in Jesus' name. Discontent, dispute, dissatisfaction, we break your power in Jesus' name. Distrust, dreamer, and enmity, we break your power up and out in Jesus' name. Up and out, up and out, come on. Up and out in Jesus' name. Fascist, fault finding, fighting, up and out in Jesus' name. We break your power. Come up and out in Jesus' name. Greed, hardness, hardness of heart, up and out in Jesus' name. Hurt, inability to cry, we break your power in Jesus' name. Insecurity, judging, kleptomania, we break your power up and out of God's people in Jesus' name. Lying,
name. Come up and out in Jesus' name. Unloved, unloving, we break your power in Jesus' name. Not able to love or give love or receive love, we break your power in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We break the power of all pornography in Jesus' name. All spirits of pornography up and out in Jesus' name. Lust and perversion up and out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.